I'm great to come back. My name's Jimmy. First, I'm going to thank God for allowing me to be here and thank y'all for showing me how to stay here one day at a time. You know, first of all, I ain't never spoke this late before. Me and Joan was just talking about how sleepy we are. You know, we was talking about how sleepy we are, then we start talking about why they gave us this topic. And then I was thinking about when I was in the hallway, me and my friend Veronica was talking about, she asked me what was my topic, and I said, let the newcomer live. And she said, what the F that posed to me? You know, so if anybody in here thinking you're going to get a story about, like, sleeping with newcomers and all that, that ain't my story. So I can't tell that, because that ain't my story. You know, but I'm going to talk about this topic to the best of my ability, and I'm going to talk about me. I can't give you that. If I can't give you nothing else, I can give you me. And, you know, when I think about this topic of letting a newcomer live, what I first get in touch with, I think about when I first came. And when I first came, my spirit was dead. You know, I first came, my spirit was dead, and then I started locking into some people that was allowing me to awaken my spirit. You know, so when you talk about doing things like now, because I don't want to knock nobody's program, like, because I know somebody might be here right now that brought a newcomer down that they might sleep with in a little while, which ain't none of my business. But I remember guys used to always tell me, you know, because when you knew, I came from, like, you determine out, like, came from the gutter and the low life, and they determined. We used to have a guy named Mo Ralph. He used to always say, like, when you knew, you kind of like was like a rat. And he said, the only time you sleep with a rat is when you feel like a rat. And it don't matter how much clean time you got. That's just based on the spiritual condition you be in at the time. That's what allow you to do those type of things. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't saying I've been no saint. That's not what I'm saying. Because I still struggle just like everybody else struggle. Me and my friend Veronica was talking about that last week when they got back. We talked about how we with clean time still struggle sometimes with different things in our life. Still need help today. You know, the same people's in my life when I came and still in my life now. I think about that like probably one of the most important reason probably why I didn't sleep with a lot of newcomers when I first came, because the people I was surrounded by didn't do that. And I had role models when I came in here. You know, I mean, they was trying to teach me, and all I had to do was watch them. And after a while, you know, I started to become a better person. Spiritually. Now, when I'm talking about struggle, I'm talking about becoming a better person spiritually and still struggle with spirituality. Try to work some steps to the best of my ability and still fall short. Then all of a sudden I want to come in and not tell nobody how short I fell. And I got to still do that. This is the same place I was in. I was thinking about when I was in the last meeting how the guy was talking about how when we first came around. Because I got here in 1988 on September 29th. My day hasn't changed. And it wasn't a lot of things suggested to us when we came in here. You know, and I thank God for that today, because when I think back in retrospect, I think about how that helped me when I first came here. You know, when I think about how, like, today how we got all this new technology with the cell phones and the text messages and all that. When I first came, I had a beeper when I first came. And I was sitting in a meeting, and my sponsor would tell me that he was going to start to learn how to teach me some discipline. And he told me that when you go in a meeting, turn the beep off and don't answer. And I had a cigarette in my hand and he's saying, don't smoke it. He didn't suggest that to me. He told me that. And I ain't moved. I had to stay in the meeting for an hour, hour and a half with the cigarette still in my hand. Till it was broke. And I just used my dolphin skills, put it back together when I got outside. Talking about when I was new. Talking about when they was letting me live. Telling me how my sponsor used to tell me stuff like the longer that you stay clean, the more light you're going to shine. And he said, them girls ain't starting to look at you because you fine and all that. He said, they starting to see a light inside of you. And they attracted to the light. I remember those things. I remember all those things. Thomas, I thank God for allowing God to allow you to cross my path, man. Because listen, I'm talking about, it's some stuff, man, that you did better than me that I won't ever forget. Not ever. I was listening to the guy in the upper room. He was talking about his relationship with his sponsor. And I was thinking about that, how a lot of times, man, like, I'm the same way. Me and my sponsor, I don't spend a whole lot of time with him. Most of the people that's the closest to me, I don't spend a whole lot of time with. Like Veronica, we don't spend a whole lot of time together anymore, but ain't nobody on the face of God's earth closer than me, to me than her. Nobody. Because it ain't nothing I can't share with her. Nothing. And you need people like that in your life, that it ain't nothing, you ain't got to cut no corners. I'm talking about, I don't care what it is. When I get the situation, I don't care what it is. When I'm pissed off with my wife, anybody, I can tell her. And it's funny how sometimes they say you can be in a situation, you got to get people to always help you that's in the same type of situation. I remember one time when me and my wife separated, Veronica was the one that told me go back home. And she's single. This didn't come from another married person. This came from my friend. She said, go back home. Work on what's broke. And man, I thank God for coming here and allowing them people to tap into my spirit, man, because them people fed me, man, when I came here. And help me become the man that I am today. And as a result, as you move on down the line in this program, man, you know what I mean? You started to take those principles elsewhere and strengthen your spirit some more. Now, for those, anybody in here that have a problem me talking about the spirit, then read the book. Because the book said this program is spiritual in nature. I didn't say it. It starts with that. It's like when you want to talk about getting high again. I'm thinking about the guy I was talking about getting high. Like, you know, you can't solve a spiritual problem with a liquid or a dope solution. You can't do it. It don't work. It's like mixing oil with water. Man, but I thank God for the home group I had in the beginning, man, because those people would help you, man. They'll love you till you learn to love yourself, because I came in there with all my slick ways. Because I come from the street. I come from the penitentiary. All of that. And when I came into fellowship, I came with all of that baggage when I came. Sitting in the back, I wasn't sitting up the front. Wasn't nobody going to tell me what to do or none of that. And the guy came back in when I was new and said, listen, you don't have to break your mug in here no more. He said, you can let it down. Nobody after you in here. Nobody's going to harm you in here. We're going to love you. And I came in a place where everything was new to me, man. Like, you know, this is the first place that I can remember getting the hugs from. I don't don't know about nobody else. That's my story. They didn't hug in my house. Did nobody hug in my house. I learned how to hug in here. I remember, you know, I tell a story about when I was new. I told this story a few times. I mean, we was over Greenmount Avenue one time. I had about 6 months clean. And, you know, like I tell you, the place I come from, man, you know, I was sitting by the door. My sponsor was going down the steps to go outside. See, this is what I'm talking about when they used to tell us to do stuff. He can go outside. I couldn't go outside. But he's going down the steps, and he said, I love you, and went down the steps. I paused for the cause. I said, I know that nigga ain't just say he love me. So I went downstairs behind him. Asked him what he mean he love me. He said, fool, if you don't go back upstairs, I'm going to love you till you learn to love yourself. I said, I already love myself. He said, listen, a man that shoot dope in his veins, sleeping, shooting galleys, don't love himself. I went back upstairs. I don't know, man. You know, when you're talking about letting a newcomer live, you know, I can touch in on that a little bit, too. It's like, you know, when a new person come in, they're a new baby, man. And we got to leave them alone. We got to leave them alone so they can grow, man. And the only way they can grow, we got to leave them alone. A person new ain't got nothing to offer me. Besides some sex. And I don't need that. For nobody new, then you can't have nothing else. We can't talk afterwards. Because you ain't got nothing else to say probably. And then it's so easy to get a new person. I can get a new person off the car I drive. It don't take a whole lot of substance to get somebody new. I can get him with the N.A. gold chain. Come on, man. I mean, I'm just saying that's the kind of stuff we attracted to when we knew. Because I was attracted to that when I came. Here I'm coming out of the shooting gallery, and then I see this girl, and I'm looking at her, and she got 3 gold chains. How do you get 3 gold chains? I didn't know. They used to tell me, keep coming back. They still say it today, keep coming back. You got to keep coming. Not only that, even when I was new, none of the older members in the program, they didn't do it to me neither. I wanted them to. But they didn't. They let me live. They let me live. See, because when you knew, you don't even really know. I think I want something and don't even know what I really want. Then you got to be careful what you ask for. Because I've seen people dying here, man. I have. We've been burying people in numbers in Baltimore. In this fellowship. Just keep going to funerals. A lot of messengers died. And I remember a lot of them, man. They left a legacy with us. Like, you know, you looking at a person and they tell you, you know, you trying to, you looking at somebody because you knew and you really like her. Because she fatter than a Sunday paper. Y'all know how fat a Sunday paper is. You know, I'm saying this to say, man, but sometimes people say, regardless of what it is, like, she fat in a Sunday paper, and I'm walking up on her, and I'm telling her I've been liking her for the longest time, and then I tell her I want you, and then she tell me something like, listen, go rest yourself. You don't need to get involved with me. And I say, but I like you though. No, you don't want to get involved with me. But I like you, though. She said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a choice. This is what a lot of people in here rob people of their choice. She said, I'm HIV positive. And she didn't have to tell me that. I'm saying that to say, because when I was new, I didn't have the ability to put a condom on. Because I was new. I didn't have the ability. I'm talking about being in situations where, this when I knew God was prevalent in my life. I'm talking about being in situations where I could have did that, had a condom in my pocket, still ain't put it on. I know I'm the only one. I already know. And that's crazy, man. That is insanity, but you still had the inability to protect yourself in a situation that could kill you. Got all the ammunition in the world and still won't use it. Same way you come in this program. 12-step program and you ain't paying it no attention. You ain't doing nothing. And I think about all the skills I had when I came in here, man, like, you know, when I started to get into this program, how this program teach you how to be humble. And I had to use the same skill when I was on the street, man, because I'm not a person to sit there and talk about the dope we sold. Because that ain't important. That ain't got to get me here. The dope I was shooting got me here. The dope I was shooting had me homeless. Sleeping in abandoned houses. That is not pretty. I still get chills thinking about that sometimes. When you get comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. And the same skills you learn on the street, man, you like. You know when you're sitting at the, hey Sly, you know when you're sitting at the top of the table, you sending niggas to the store. Then at the end, you going to the store. Same way you going to cop and you got plenty of money to cop with. And you talking trash because you got the money. Well, give me two of them 60s, man, and hurry up back, nigga. Because I got the money. But how about when I got there and I ain't had that much money, I was putting some change together. See, your attitude changed then. You don't be talking like that, boy, bring me two of them back and hurry up. Everything different then. Man, can I talk to you? Because you're a little short now. You ain't got the same attitude. And it's the same way in here, man. Be careful what you ask for. Most people come in here and start looking at the materialistic stuff and they start wanting a lot, but you can't handle a lot. God know what I can handle. You start coming in and you see what other people got and you start saying, boy, I want the big house too. And you can't handle no big house. You want the fancy car. You can't handle no fancy car. When I was new, we used to have to learn how to practice discipline. And which I'm saying that because I don't see that in here today. People in here doing what they want to do. You can't do what you want to do in here. They should really find out how much you desire you really had early on when I was new. It's like, my sponsor used to tell us, like, we used to be in the meeting all the way in East Baltimore, and ain't nobody had no car. He said, now meet me at the 8 o'clock meeting, because he wanted to test your desire. Come on with it, West Baltimore. Meet me over there. On foot. We would walk. Some, because I didn't always have bus fare. I thank God for those days. And God didn't let me have no vehicle till I could handle it. He ain't let me have no vehicle. I had a bus pass first. For the new people that come in and think you supposed to just have a car. You got to crawl for you walk. You got to crawl for you walk. That's in any situation. I didn't get to where I'm at now spiritually walking. I got there crawling. I got there having a struggle with my high power. First of all, I had a struggle getting down on my knees. I'm not getting down. But do you know that getting on your knees is a humbling position? It is a submissive position. They would tell me little stuff like, you don't want to get down on your knees. I said, no. They said, bet if one of them girls was laying on that bed, you would get down on your knees. In a New York setting. I was like, wow. Now you about to get on your knees with somebody that's only going to give you a feeling for a few minutes, but somebody that could bless you with a feeling for life. It was tough for me. It might have been easy for y'all. I struggled, man. Eddie White, I struggled, man, with my high power, man. I struggled. You know, I'm talking about struggling with something you know is good. You already seen and tasted the other side. You still struggle. Still don't want to let it go. Knowing what the result's going to be, you still don't want to let it go. That's me. I don't know about nobody else. Hey, Pat, I struggle, baby. I struggle. These my friends I'm calling, man. Francis. I love you, Francis. I love you, Myrtle. I want to tell everybody publicly, anybody that's close in my life to help me, I love you. You know I love you. I love you, Yvonne. You know I love you. I watched God resurrect you, man. A lot of people don't know your struggle, man. See, I got physical evidence and watched God resurrect people, man. I watched God resurrect you. That's why he's still using you, man. When you was sick, he wouldn't talk to nobody. God lift him up. See, he'll lift you up when you've been in the trenches doing work in the beginning. He ain't gonna let nothing happen to you. Man, I'm calling miracles out, man. Winnie. All the way from Philadelphia. I remember you couldn't walk. I remember. Sly, I remember you had 5 deaths in your family. I remember. And when all these situations happened, man, all those people was helping me, man, preparing me. You got to be careful who you put your mouth on. Gronk, I seen you come through them surgeries. Seen you come through them. Fighting. We talking soldiers. You got to fight here if you're going to stay. Big Sam, you got to fight, baby. You know, we got to fight. If God got his hand on your life, you're going to have to fight. Listen, most of the people that don't have a true relationship with our power because you move on to that, those are people not struggling. Because when you got a relationship with God, you're going to struggle. He's going to test you. He did to me. 2007, he took my daughter. Now I'm going to see how faithful I am now. I'm going to see if you're going to believe now. That was the toughest time of my life, man. The toughest. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. He saw fit to take, and I had to deal with it. I had to survive those emotions. I was hurting in places I didn't even know I had. And y'all was there, man. These people in this room right now was there. Was there. And that's why I would publicly say thank you, man. Because y'all don't know I don't get a chance to say thank you sometimes for some of the stuff y'all did for me. When my daughter died, somebody called Thomas P. Mann, said, he said, where you at? I said, in the house. He said, don't move. And I ain't move, man. I felt like a kid, like I used to in the beginning. And he came, he took me to breakfast, and we just ate and we talked, man. And he held me. Veronica the same way. Francis the same way. I love you, Candy. Glad my friend Matt Emo here, man. Just lost his nephew to murder in Baltimore. We the number two city in murder right now. And I'm glad you here, man. This where you supposed to be. Man, oh man, oh man, man. Listen, ain't nothing like being new. And ain't nothing like being old. Because, you know, you go through the same struggles I had in the beginning, I still had now. It's just that I am more spiritually equipped to handle it. God knew I couldn't handle him taking my daughter like in probably like 95. I couldn't have handled that. I might have shot some heroin. But by the time that situation came down, I was spiritually equipped. And ain't nothing like being spiritually equipped. Ain't nothing like having on all the armor. That's right. Ain't nothing like having all the armor on. Yeah. I had it all on. Yeah. Same way when they talk about in this fellowship, man, when people being here always gossiping. Gossip is poison. It's in the book. It's poison. You know, you come in here and you see a person up here at the podium and somebody to slip aside and told them that nigga or her or she ain't so and so and so and so. And now you done looked at that. You can't even hear the message they deliver. Because you blocked with that poison somebody done put in your system. Man, there's some people in here I love, man. Trey R. Vanilla, shit. Jess Dog, that's my man, that's my traveling partner right there. Where I go, he go. Keisha, where I go, he go. Greg, I love you too, man. I'm glad everybody here showed up, man. And like I say, with this topic, let the newcomer live, man. Like I say, I don't have a side of that where, you know, the sleeping with the newcomer part, because that ain't me. And I thank God that a lot of them didn't sleep with me because they spared me. You know, it's something like being spared from you. Getting ready to get put in a situation that, you know, you don't know what to do in. You know, we talk about, we suggest things like, don't get no relationship. Things like that. I mean, there's people, just stuff people suggest. And I understood it as the more I got along. Because, it, you know, when I didn't have no, when I wasn't spiritually equipped, I couldn't handle, like, going with somebody and then coming here and then she keep hugging y'all. You know, I wasn't spiritually equipped and I was new, so I want to know why she hugging that nigga that long. Who was that? Or like when I used to be home, and then she was at the dance, the N.A. dance, or wherever. And little things she ain't know, like how I'll be laying in bed, and I act like I'm asleep. I wasn't asleep. Damn, if I was asleep, I'd wait for you to come in. was stuff you did when you knew. You're not equipped. You know, and never being able to share it with her once she came in, how every time I heard a car outside, I opened the blind up. And then jumped back in the bed. Only to have her come in, and then when she come in, I try to act like I'm just waking up. Man, I'm for real, I've been woke. Matter of fact, I never went to sleep. Them insecurities when you're new, man, you can't handle nothing else. Where you at? What you doing? Who you with? All that kind of stuff, man. Let me live, man. Leave me alone. Now, I don't have to go through that a lot today, man. But where, man, that would get on my nerve right now. You keep calling me, ask where you at. I'm in Ocean City. I told you that yesterday. Then you ask me a dumb question like, where I'm at? You call me, sir, and say, where you at? What you mean? I'm in Ocean City. Just talking about the stuff I had to deal with early on, man, when I wasn't equipped to even be in a relationship. See, I was in something I shouldn't have never even been in. And I found out later that I shouldn't have never been in it, because once I stayed in it about 2-3 years, then she packed all my stuff. Y'all know my story, how I came from the mustard seed 2 o'clock in the morning. She had my bags packed. I was living on Liberty Heights. And I thought she was going to laundry at 2. I walked in the house from the party. I said, I don't know why the hell she got all these clothes packed, because I ain't going to laundry this late. She said, boo, that's not long. That's all your shit. Bye. And Thomas came and helped me move out. In desperation, I seeked help again. We went down the back stairs, too. Still got... How you get put out now? You ain't got nowhere to live. Now you still on ego time. I'm going to go out the back. Because I don't want nobody to see me. But I'm still talking about desire. I kept coming. Homeless. Clean. Experienced that. And stayed. Homeless, clean. Kept coming. Now, I would come in a meeting. Now, I wasn't raising my hand. I wasn't telling nobody I was homeless. Hell no. But the sad part is, when you stay right here, they already knew I ain't had nowhere to stay. You think you got a secret. They knew I was homeless. It's one thing about being homeless. You have a homeless look. When you're homeless, you look homeless. I mean, you look homeless because every time they meet, everybody says, see y'all later, I'm going home, and you ain't saying shit. Where you going? I'm going with Jesse. Because you can't say you're going home because you're homeless. I'm going to say this in closing. I'm going to just say this and I'm going to close, man. Because, listen, I'm having a ball just being down here. And I thank everybody who came here to support me. I was in D.C. about 3 weeks ago. We went down to Rico's anniversary in D.C. I'll never forget this. He called him one of the dudes, man. He called him one of the dudes, and the dude said that somebody stole the steering wheel off his car. So I'm sitting in the back of the meeting. He said, yeah, nigga stole the steering wheel off my goddamn car. He said, the program teach you, like, okay, he steal the steering wheel. Don't chase him. So he said, shit, the steering wheel, he said, he chased him anyway. So he said, he ran up on the nigga and said, man, listen, all I want to know is, why did you steal my goddamn steering wheel of all things? He said, the guy said, because I'm a crack fiend. I just wanted to turn my life around. Thankfully, I'm in the shed.
I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Joan from D.C.
I'm an act named Joan. And it's a good day to be clean. It's a fantastic day to be clean. All the Jimmy Jam people leaving. Bye, y'all. Wow. I was just thinking about, the topic, letting the newcomer live. And what came to mind was my own story. You know, as a newcomer and sponsoring newcomers and just dealing with newcomers in general. You know, my clean date is September 18th, 1985. And coming into Narcotics Anonymous, I really didn't know what to expect. You know, I came here because the judge said, go there or go to jail. So I was like, okay. So I went to the place he sent me to not to go to jail. Although everything in me said I was only going there not to go to jail. But the evidence was clear that I had a problem. You know, I was 30 years old, had nothing to show for being an adult. You know, I had great parents growing up. And if I based my upbringing on whether or not I should have ended up an addict, I would say no. Church on Sunday, school was a requirement, summer vacation, 3 meals or more a day, come in by the street light. I mean, everything, you know. But we all know disease don't care where you come from, who you are. It's just out to destroy. You know, and I see it every day. People on TV got more money they can do anything with and can't get this gift that we have. You know, so when I say I wouldn't trade this for any amount of money, believe me. And people that's been here kind of know what I'm talking about. If you're a newcomer, you might be like, yeah, okay. No amount of money, no amount of money. Okay? And so when I came to the place where they sent me, my first introductory to Narcotics Anonymous was through H&I Subcommittee. D.C. area came to that place and bought a meeting. And I think the first thing attracted me as a newcomer was when the brother said that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. I was blown by that. Because I was like, where are they not using? Where is that happening at? Because everybody I sent myself around did something wrong. And you mean to tell me that people are not using? And I grasp onto that idea. And I think that I had gotten this, like, burning desire for recovery early. And what happened was, the place that I was in, that particular night, the H&I subcommittee came up. I didn't go to the meeting because I had gotten my tooth pulled. So they allowed me to stay in my room. And so I'm laying in my bed and my door opened, and I think it's the roommate. Somebody tapped me on the back and I turned around and it was Francis W. I was like, I thought I was dreaming. We come from the same hood. You understand? And I didn't know that she got clean. I thought they had brought her into the place that I was in. And she said, no, she was an agent now. So I was like, damn. If I had any idea that this program did not work, I knew it worked when I saw her. That was the evidence that I needed. I said, damn, Francis is clean. The second thing happened is my fourth month that I was in that place, got a phone call and said my brother was shot and killed. And being that I was on probation, they said I couldn't go to Quantico to see him get buried without a jurisdiction. Now, in D.C., the Quantico is like down the street. The hell they talking about out of jurisdiction? But I'm telling you, had already started the process of surrender. So I said, whatever. I'll go to the funeral and I'll go back. Because guess what? Me leaving there to go to the burial ground wasn't going to bring him back. So I began to deal with what was real. So I went to that place, funeral, and I went back. So now I'm starting to see the evidence of, you know, the program working in my life, and I didn't even know it. As a newcomer, back then, I don't know if I want to say they were a little more more caring then than they are now. I can't really say that. All I know is that back then they told you the truth, whether you liked it or not. They say you can shove your feelings. Shut up. We want to get high. We'll call on you. So, you go to a meeting and share something this week. You can't come back next week unless you're going to share the solution. Because Doreen and Common Leader wasn't going to have it. They say, listen, don't bring that shit back in here next week. Let's get into the solution. And so you would kind of be afraid to raise your hand if they give you the look. And you put that hand back down. You know. Early on in my recovery, it wasn't a lot of Narcotics Anonymous meetings, so we would go wherever. One week we would do Baltimore, and then the next week Baltimore would do us. We would do the Mustard Seed, they would come to the Pathfinders. We just go back and forth. Because the object was to stay clean, no matter what. Broader the base, higher the freedom. You know what I'm saying? We would pile up 10 in a car and go where we needed to go. No one would leave the meeting walking. No one. If someone passed you by, they'd stop and say, where are you going? Not which way you're going, where are you going? Get in. Take you to your door, whether you were male or female, and wait till you got in. My experience when I came around, okay, my first sponsor was a person that, you know, showed me the ropes, took me to all quality meetings, Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and showed me the do's and don'ts, because they are do's and don'ts. When people tend to say it's nothing out of order, oh, it'd be a lot of stuff out of order. You know, back then you would kind of cap it up. Today you kind of like 2010, it ain't as, you know, sometimes you got to like hold up because, you know, now they gonna punch you in the face and, you know, wait for you outside and I'm telling you. So now you got to kind of hold up because they coming in rough and ready. When we came in, we were so broke down, we didn't care what you said to us. When I came around 24 years ago, they look. Shove it. Shove your little feelings. And do what I tell you to do. You know, they would say, this is your sponsor. You wasn't picking a sponsor that sound good, look good, drove good. No, that's your sponsor right there. And that's what you would take. You know what I mean? Being new, I needed some guidance. It had nothing to do with me being 30 years old. I did not know how to live. I needed some guidance and direction. Now, here's time going on, and I'm maturing, and I'm getting more clean time in the program. And, you know, now it's my turn to kind of, like, give back what was so freely given to me. And so, early on, dealing with newcomers, I would try, you know, I was kind of giving it to them like it was giving it to me. You know what I mean? It wasn't working. And it wasn't working in the sense that I was running them away. That's not good. Because when nobody else wants you, you're just right for this place. So when you walk into the door, you're looking for love or you're giving love. Which are you doing? Position I was in, I needed to be given love. So when newcomers come in, you know, I'm a person, I'm very giving. Yeah. I'm very giving. You hungry, you're going to eat. You know what I mean? You want to travel, you want to go, do what we do, you're going to do it. You know what I mean? Because that's what was given to me. You know, and so coming into being a sponsor, sponsoring newcomers, it's not always easy. I had to learn. I had to meet them where they were. At first, I wasn't doing that. I was like, slap, you know, had the whip, pow, you know, pow, you know. And they was like, ooh, you know, wasn't good.
You know, and the bottom line is that, you know, eventually you can, you know, begin to see the pain on their face as a result of the lashing that you gave them. When it really wasn't the time. Really wasn't the time to be that way. You know what I mean? And so I had to learn how to be more loving and caring. That I don't always have to be rough and ready. I don't want to be in a space where, you know, a newcomer female feel like they can't come to me because of my presentation, how I'm looking. Nah, I ain't going to talk to Jones. Shit, nah, I'm not doing that. And at first, you know, that was kind of like, you know, yeah, right. Come to me, you got to be right, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Humphrey Bogart, you know, you got to be right, you know. But I found out that that was not good. That was not good. You know what I mean? And my sponsor would tell me stuff about Joan. You got to think about how you say it. It's not all the time what you say. It's how you say it. You know, if I'm talking rough to somebody that's always been abused and always been verbally abused or talked to in a manner, here I come supposed to be loving and caring and helping you, and I'm doing the same thing that the person that you no longer want to deal with is doing. Now, some people got to get it like that. Like the brother in my life, I had to give it to him. I indicted his ass this morning. I said, stand right there. I'm going to give it to you right now. And I let him have it. Why? We've been in a 24-year relationship. I got issues with him not getting this. Because if I can get it, you can get it. It's nothing special about me. Nothing special about me. It's just that you got to surrender. They say help begins for the addict once you are able to admit complete defeat. It says staying clean must come first. It's the second line in the basic text in the first step. Staying clean must come first. That's telling you that shit's going to happen. But no matter what happens, every clean day is a successful day. No matter what happens. Because shit's going to happen. You get fired, don't use good day. Somebody died, don't use good day. Girlfriend cheat on you, don't use good day. The addict I was, I used everything. Your graduation don't know you. Just knew that you graduated. Huh? So every day, clean is a good day. You know. Now, sometimes, you know, people get in intimate relationships with newcomers. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I'm going to leave it at that. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And the time that it don't, you just got to be ready. You just got to strap up and hope that everybody comes out clean. Although we know everybody don't come out clean, but you got to hope that they do. You know what I mean? I no more. I can't tell you what to do no more. I can't tell you who to sleep with, who to be. It says it in our literature. I think it's in the only requirement for membership part. Because people be counseled, dipped in the water, prayed on, slapped, and all that. It's solely up to the individual. Only thing I can tell you is that Joan is done. I'm 55 years old. I don't have time to start over. I don't. I came down here, left my 91-year-old mother just waiting for me to come back. Before I left, I had to make sure she was okay. Did somebody give her medicine or insulin? Oh, if that wasn't going to happen, I wasn't coming because she's my responsibility. So I don't have time to start over. I'm a supervisor on my job. They look for me to give some direction. I can't do that if I'm constantly starting over. I'm a newcomer in a lot of things. I'm a newcomer in being a supervisor. The first thing they told me when I got that position, Joan, I know you can do the work, but just be careful of your presentation. Because you're a rough motherfucker. Be careful. You know, I'm a newcomer at being a lot more manageable with my finances. Man, I've been fucked up for years. Clean. With my finances. To the point that it was beginning to harm other people. I had to do some changing in that area. It was new for me. It was new for me paying a bill on time. That was new for me. I'm used to getting the damn the cutoff notice. Clean. Not use it. I'm talking about clean. It was stopping progress. You know, being in a relationship with somebody that's manageable and you not, shit ain't gonna work. It ain't. The day gonna come and it's gonna be over. Because the person that's manageable wants to excel. You holding me up. You know what I mean? And so I had to do something different in that area. I'm a newcomer at, you know, my son's 34 years old. And dealing with him like he's a man and not my child. Like he's a man and not my child. Because of how I speak to him. For him to remind me, Mom, a man. Can't talk to me like that. I had to think about it. It's true. I'm new at hugging my son. I can hug him and not hug my son. It wasn't familiar. It's a lot of things that at 24 years clean, I'm a newcomer at. You know what I mean? I'm a person, I'm a woman that knows my responsibility when it comes to helping people. I can help any brother. I know my motives. They're pure. They're genuine. And I got a husband that knows that. That's why he's not worried when I say I'm going to Ocean City and three brothers going to ride with me. Only thing he says is, let me know when you get there that you're all right. That's the kind of relationship we had. Or when the woman calls and say, may I speak to William? Sure, hold on. Just give me some respect. How you doing? How you doing? Can I speak to William? Sure, here you go. Been together 32 years. Only married 6. And that's because it was work to be done. We knew at the marriage thing. Let people tell it because we've been together so long, we should have been married. No, we shouldn't have. No, we shouldn't have. Because when it happens, we want it to be forever. So we had work to do. I had my issues and he had his. But I only talk about mine. He'll get to his. I had to learn how to, you know, manage some money. Manage my time. Because early on in my recovery, it was like all about N.A. Oh, I was just so N.A. bound, Lord. N.A. bound, honey. Oh. He wanted to know, well, can you come and do the laundry or something? Can you dust the furniture? Can you cook me a little food? They gonna get the workshop together and all that. Can you come in the house and do something? You know. So I had to change all that around. You feel me? And I became new with that. Just not showing up, you know, with everything going on. That's all I was asked. You want to commit? No, I ain't on nothing. I'm just here to enjoy myself. I'm never going to refuse them asking me to share my experience and hope. That's not happening. I'm not going to do that. You know, but I know when I need to say no. You know what I mean? I know when I need to say no. You know what I'm saying? If you got newcomers in your life, you know, today, 2010, it's just about being a little more loving and caring because it's just not like it used to be. I don't want to say it's a new breed and all that old crap. It's just not like what it used to be. They're coming in younger. They're coming in with stuff. And you mad if you ain't come in with shit. You know. They coming in fat to death. Jewelry, hair done, nails done, feet done, some more shit. When they come in, you want to know what their problem is. They probably might not be that. But if they in this room, it is a problem. Okay? You know, don't be mad if you came in wearing 2 pounds and they had shit. I mean, they coming in driving a nice car and everything. Shit, I was walking. And when I bought a car, I paid too much for it. Because I wanted to drive. And then the snatch man came and got it clean. Okay? So, you know, it is what it is. Whenever you got clean, it was the best time. So we used to say, you know, I'm so glad I got clean when I did. Whenever you got clean, it was the right time. It was the right time. You know what I mean? I came down and we had like 3 cars, you know, and I think it was like five newcomers, you know, because I just can't come to OGC without a newcomer. I've been coming for the whole time, 24 years. I can't come without a newcomer. I just can't. You know what I mean? I just can't. I think everybody needs to try and experience this thing. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
These many addicts not using. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful experience. You know, lastly, you know, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, being careful as to what we introduce newcomers to. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, if you're doing something and you're doing it, sometimes we just can't press it off on newcomers to do it too. They may not be ready. You know what I mean? I'm one that I'm not taking a newcomer to no bar and club and all that. I'm not doing that. I'm just not. In the chapter Recovering Relapse, it talks about staying clean on the outside, that IP. Talks about the do's and don'ts, frequenting bars and clubs and old acquaintances and stuff like that. You know, telling newcomers you can go to the club with me, I got you. Fuck, you got them. How you got them? Because if somebody want to use, they going to use whether you fuck you think you got them or not. What kind of shit is that to tell somebody? What is that? You tell somebody with 30 days come and go to the club because you got them. What, you going to suck the alcohol out their mouth if they drink it? What you mean you got them? It's not fair. It's not fair. If you got enough clean time to go do that, then help yourself. Help do what works for you. Don't take newcomers to that shit. That's the bottom line. These days, you know, you got clean people having drunk shit. What is that about? You clean, but you having a drunk party. And I mean going and purchase the alcohol and everything. What the fuck they do that at? Personally, I'm not having nothing unless it's clean. At my house, anywhere. It's going to be clean. Now, if I'm offending somebody that had a drunk party, then see me after the meeting. It's not fair. Sometimes right now, this going on, like in our city, you know, you got something going on, Narcotics Anonymous thing, or recovery thing going on, and they got the drunk thing over here, man. The drunk thing will outweigh the clean thing. The drunk thing will outweigh the clean thing. Wow. Wow. Because sometimes it's just about the dollar. Dollar bill, y'all. You know what I mean? Hey, I don't even mean step on nobody's toe. But I'm woman enough to say what I'm saying. That's real. Because nobody introduces to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that friends with nobody that much that you're going to convince me to do that. Come on. I'm not that much friends with anybody. Anybody. Let the newcomer live. Let the newcomer live. And when they get enough clean time, they feel like they can handle it. I got 24 and I don't do it. I don't do it. If it ain't clean, I ain't doing it. Because we got enough clean stuff in D.C. that we can have a good time all the time. All the time. We always got something going on. You know what I mean? Man, today is beautiful. Having a good time. You know, the other day in the meeting, the guy said, you know, clean time ain't nothing. I was like, oh, God, he got another, you know, screwed up message. that. What do you think we're doing here? Of course we accomplish stuff, but suppose nobody had clean time. Can you imagine? Everybody be here sucking their goddamn thumb. What is it? I mean, why would you say that? Clean time is important. It may not equal recovery, but it's important. People might have 20 years and not doing what they need to do, but Jesus, they clean. Because we have an anniversary. That's what you celebrate, clean time. You're not celebrating what you've done in a year. You're celebrating that you use in a year. And you didn't. So I celebrate mine every year, trust and believe. Whether I didn't do nothing but sleep, I'm celebrating mine. I don't care if I've been in a fight, got fired, went to jail. If I don't use, I'm coming to the table. And you know what? Give me mine. Yeah. That's what's happening. Square business. You know what I mean? So let's not get it twisted, y'all. We got to be clear when we come up here. We got to be clear. You know what I mean? Because the message is hope. And when they come, you know, some days, you know, I'm looking for hope. Because some days I just feel so hopeless and helpless when there's stuff going on and I can't do nothing about it. And on that day, a newcomer be just right for me. Just right for me. You know what I mean? When newcomers come and ask you to sponsor, and if you don't have what it takes to sponsor them, tell them no. It's okay. It really is. To sponsor somebody and you don't have what it takes, and down the line they got to get somebody else and build another relationship with somebody else when you knew in the beginning you didn't have what it took. And that was a working knowledge of this stuff. It's okay to say no. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Because women ask me, I say why. I send them to the IP. Go read it. You know, because you know, we can talk, sound good, look good, and all that. But do we have what it takes to guide these people? Because it's not a joke. People got stuff in their lives buried deep down in. They got to get out. They got to get out. You got men in here that scared to do a fourth step because it's so treacherous. So much in it. Stuff that, you know, probably you're scared to tell anybody. Because it's just that much treacherous. Women want to be able to reveal what's going on. It's not a joke. You sponsoring people, it's not a joke. Newcomers come in, like I said, they looking for love. And they got to get that stuff out. And you let me get all up here on no pedestal now. I had to learn how, like you talked about, not to gossip. You know, keep something in me. You know what I mean? Sometimes when I don't know what to do, I got to call and ask somebody else. I'm one that speaks to my sponsor every day. You know, go visit and stuff like that. I don't like the couch either that Melvin talked about. Going to sit on the sponsor couch. Damn. That's a heavy couch, honey. Woo! When you get to the couch, you got to be right when you get to the couch. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't know if I helped anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? But letting the newcomer live, you gotta broaden it. You got to look at it in the way that you see fit. Because, you know, when you hear somebody say that, instantly they go to sleeping with somebody. That's not the only way you affect a newcomer. It's not the only way. That might be the smallest part. Sometimes it's much more than that. You know what I mean? That's where it's twisted. Because you can have a female sponsoring a female, and it's no intimacy there, but because of your character, your demeanor, you know, and things like that, you just may not be ready to sponsor that person. I think in my whole 24 years, I think it's one person that I told I could not sponsor. One person. And it hurt me to my heart to have to do it. I'm not one that say I'm not sponsoring you because you ain't calling me and all that shit. I'm not caught up on how many times you can call me. It's that when you call, let's have quality conversation. If you choose to call me in a year and say, hey, sponsor. I'm going to say, hi, how you doing? I ain't going to say, well, you ain't called me in a year. When the fuck do you want it? You know, or, you know, this thing about read the step for 30 days, and if you miss, go back. And who say miss for a whole damn year? What you going to do? What you going to do? I got a sister right now that I love dearly that I sponsor. That I want to do her to do the work. But I'm still going to sponsor. I don't care. I'm still going to sponsor her. She's real productive in a lot of areas of her life. But she got to do the work. And she know I love her. She in this room, too. I ain't going to break her anonymity, but look, she in here. She know I love her. And it's time to get busy. My sponsor just told me not long ago, it's time to do some other things, honey. And I was like, oh, God. For 24 years, she telling me what to do. Yeah. And some days, I'm just as batty. Just about 3 months ago, I told the girl I was going to punch in the nose. I wasn't going to do it because I don't want no handcuffs on. But that's how I felt at the time. I had to back up off me. But anyway, man, it's a good day to be clean. If you're here and this is your first convention, welcome. If you're old time, it's your first convention, welcome. I'm an addict named Joan, and I'm going to keep coming back.